The soldiers mocked Jesus. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him. They took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. God, thank you so much for the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you so much that from the beginning of time you knew that we would need a Savior.
Jesus.
Thank you so much for the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank Jesus. You from Adam all the way to Moses. The perfect Lamb was planned. The little Lamb was born in the manger, surrounded by sheep, surrounded by lambs. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice. God, thank you for your Son. I could not sacrifice my Son, but you had a perfect Son and you sacrificed him. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to us to guide us.
Yes.
Thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for Easter.
Yes.
Thank you for eternity. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
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 Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. This word means a lot to me because I know a little bit about forgiveness. I'm supposed to be here with my husband and he can't be here. I'm hoping he's coming soon. It was because of Christ's forgiveness that I have a new life. And it's because of forgiveness that I have a new marriage. Forgiveness is the highest act of love that there is, because love is selfless. But forgiveness is not allowing anyone any pain, any harm to hinder the love that you have for somebody. And I know I know that we've all experienced pain and betrayal. And we know how that feels when somebody lets us down. So blessed that you put on the Passion of Christ, because we recently just seen it in a dozen ministry, and that image is in my mind of what Christ went through. When Christ said these words, "Forgive them, Father," he was beaten, he was spat upon, he was bloodied, he was tortured, he was mocked and laughed at. And at his highest point of humiliation and pain, the Son of God, the Son of God said, "Forgive them."
Jesus.
Because if they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't be doing this. He believed that if we knew what we were doing, we wouldn't be doing this. I don't know if any of you seen that Forgiven poster where you see Jesus, you know, he looks really strong and he's holding up a battered man. Mm-hmm. But that's not when Jesus said, "Forgive them." He said it when he was crucified on the cross. Yeah. In pain and humiliation by his own children.
Jesus.
Oh God, have mercy on us.
Jesus.
Have mercy on us. His highest act of love in forgiving us, he poured out our highest act of depravity toward us. His forgiveness should be bringing us to our knees, because when we look at the cross, we know who we are, what we're capable of without him. I remember in the Catholic Church, there was a saying that we said that came to my heart, and we always used to say before we would receive the Eucharist, it was, Father, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. I'm not worthy to receive him. But he said the word, so I'm healed. I'm healed by those stripes. I'm healed by his crucifixion. So today, I just want, just praying about what I was going to say, and this forgiveness is so powerful. And I don't know who is out here right now that thinks that someone has done something unforgivable to them. But if the Son of God can forgive us, the Son of God, who we crucified, can forgive us, what is unforgivable? Mm. What is unforgivable?
Jesus.
I pray that whoever it is that needs to be forgiven in your life, that you would forgive them.
Yes.
Show the highest act of love that Jesus showed us how to do.
Yes.
And it's supernatural.
Yes.
Go into a supernatural place.
Yes.
And I pray that when we look at the cross of Christ, we see love. I pray that when we look at the cross of Christ, we see our own depravity. Mm. I pray that Jesus Christ, forgiveness, brings us to our knees. Hallelujah. And that's all I really have to say today. And just remember what forgiveness really means. It's love. Mm. It's love. It's not allowing anything to stop the love. Jesus didn't allow anything that was done to him to stop his love for you.
Yes.
To the point where no pain, no amount of pain, would stop him from saying, God, don't forgive them. Thank you.
Praise God.
Thank you. Praise God.
Praise God.
And I will be talking about the second word. My word is paradise. And the word is found in Luke 23:43. I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise. When I read this word, I've read it before, but when I see the word paradise, I have this image in my mind: waterfalls, vast horizons, trees, flowers, beautiful clouds, and a place of tranquility, of love, of peace. That's what I think about. And in reading Luke and seeing that this the Lord here was talking to one of the criminals who was being crucified with him. He had one on his left and one on his right. And one was mocking him and insulting him. And the other one just wanted to be remembered in his kingdom to come. And that struck a chord with me. I looked up the word paradise in the Oxford American Dictionary, and it was defined as heaven or Eden. And then I went to Genesis 2:8, and there, paradise was the garden where you had the tree of life and flowing water and good food, a place where you felt safe and loved. Mm. And in Revelation, when I looked there. Revelation 2:7. Paradise, originally a Persian word for a pleasure garden. And in Revelation, what it symbolized was being restored, going to the ultimate destiny. And that was very calming and just made me feel really good about the hope of the ultimate destiny, to be in paradise with the Lord, our Creator, to be in a perfect relationship with Him, the way it was before sin entered the world. So, as I was reading this, I just know that the Lord has us here on this earth for a particular time to do His work for His purpose. And I know that to be true. But just thinking about paradise, I just imagine while I'm here doing His work and honoring Him, I look forward to that time where I can be in paradise with my Lord and my Savior, to be restored, to have a perfect relationship the way He meant it to be. And that gives me peace and joy just to think about that. And so tonight, while we looked at a few clips from Passion of the Christ, and we see these images of brutality and suffering, and it's just overwhelming. Jesus. To wrap my brain around how much God loved us, that He loved us so much, that He sent His only begotten Son here on earth to suffer and be beaten and be mocked and be tortured for us. How much He loved us, and that is just something that's hard to wrap my brain around. But He, the all-powerful, knowing God, loved us that much that He did this for us. And I am thankful. And I just praise Him and pray that while I am on this earth, the days that He gives me, Jesus, that I will honor Him.
Yes.
And I will do His work.
Yes.
And I will allow Him to direct my steps.
Jesus.
And my words.
Jesus.
And hope for.
Yes.
And pray that He would welcome me in His kingdom.
Mm.
And so tonight, I'd just like to say to everyone that we have that joy and peace in knowing that God does have a plan for us.
Mm.
And that plan is to ultimately return home to Him in paradise.
Jesus.
To be restored.
Mm.
To have perfect love, the perfect Jesus. Relationship with Him.
Thank you, Lord.
And that we should be at peace in knowing that.
Yes.
And we should tonight just ask Him to remember us in His kingdom.
Yes.
When we return home, where we'll see the glory of the Lord.
Yes.
The flowing water and all that He has created.
Thank you.
So I just like to pray right now.
Mm.
So if we could bow our heads.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we thank You, Lord. We thank You. We thank You for first loving us.
Yes, Lord.
We thank You for Your sacrifice.
Jesus.
We thank You for the cross that You bear, Lord God.
Jesus.
But we are also thankful for the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we know that You are present. We know that You're here right now, Father God.
Yes.
And in this time right now, Lord,
Jesus,
we want to just take Your word in and just soak it in, Lord. And
Jesus.
Although there are things that we cannot understand because of our human minds,
hallelujah.
Lord, Father God, we just want to take this moment right now and thank You. Thank You for loving us, Father
thank
God.
You, God. Thank You, God.
Thank You for saving us, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for all that you do, Lord Father God.
Jesus.
Lord, when we think about when Jesus walked the earth and all that he went through for us, Lord Father God, us as sinners, how he bore our sins, Lord Father God. It's amazing, Lord, it's amazing. Your glory, your mighty power, Lord, that you would do that for us. It would have been easy to destroy us and start all over. But you sent your son. And we want to recognize you, Lord Father God, and give you the honor and the praise.
Jesus.
And Lord, right now, we just want to hear a word from you, Lord.
Yes.
We want to tell you how much we love you, Lord Father God. Father God, we honor you tonight on this Holy Friday, Lord. We praise your name. We give you thanks. We give you all the glory. And we look forward to paradise with you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I have a third word found in John 19:25-27, where the Lord tells, he's speaking to John, he says, dear, speaking to his mother, and he says, dear woman, behold your son. The scene, we're now at the hill, Golgotha is what the scriptures call it, and we see three crosses.
Jesus.
Two criminals and the Lord Jesus crucified in the middle. Many spectators, perhaps some of the ones that even shouted Hosanna just days before. We had officials, Roman officials, teachers of the law. But for now, we're just going to focus on three characters. We have the Son of God on the cross. We have his mother Mary at his feet, and John the disciple. Mary, who at a very young age became pregnant, the Spirit of God, and must have been a young girl who really sought the Lord, because the Lord used her. So she begins to start her life, and perhaps family shunned her. And friends, maybe she, I don't know how Mary felt, because not everybody believed what had occurred to her. Of course, Joseph comes alongside her, and then he believes, and he takes her to be his wife. And I wondered how Mary dealt after the Lord Jesus was born, you know. When would he do something that she was different? This was the Son of God. I don't know if she fully understood it all. But this was a special, this was something different. And Mary was still a regular mother, you know. Her son would still probably fall, as we saw in the clip, run around, and she would run to his aid just like we would do. But her life is different, because we know earlier on that she ran from country to country as the Lord directed her, move, get up now and leave. And she had to obey, her and her husband. And then we have John, one of the two brothers, James and John. I think John was the younger brother. And he, the Lord calls him, and he begins to learn of this God, of Jesus. He becomes a student, and the Lord begins to teach him about the kingdom. And little by little, unfolding who he is, enough that at the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord really entrusts him with identity, because he is transfigured right before John. John is part of the inner circle. The Lord has taught him about the kingdom to come, the kingdom at hand, but also has demonstrated by his life as he walked what it really meant to be a disciple. He taught him what it really meant to be, quote, quote, religious. It was more than that. when Jesus is being crucified, he looks down and he addresses his mother first. And I found it important because he could have turned around and said, John, listen to me now. You've been walking with me and I need you to do me a favor. I need you to take care of my mother. But that's not what he does. He addresses his mother first, giving her honor. He knew what she had gone through her entire life. And he honors her and he says, it's almost as if he says, Mom, I know what you've been through. And perhaps even says, Daughter, because he's God, remember? I know what you've been through. And I'm gonna take care of you. Not just spiritually, not just because you've been, you know, you believed in me and received, not only carried the Son of God, but has entrusted, you know, her life to God himself, but he's gonna take care of even her physical needs. And he turns around and he says, Woman, behold your son. Then he turns around and he says to John, Son, behold your mother. It's not as if to say, okay, now John, I put you on the spot, so now you got to take care of my mother. No, John had been taught. He knew what it meant to be a follower of Christ. He knew the law. The law has said to honor, you know, the widow, to take care of the widow. And that's what Mary was. We don't really know where Joseph was. Had he died, we don't know, the scriptures, and I don't really know. I assume he was dead. Otherwise, he would have been, I would assume, at the feet of his son who was being crucified. So he speaks to John and says, now take care of my mother. And he goes ahead and he does that for the rest of his life. He honors what the Lord Jesus told him to do, to take care of his mother. I'm reminded of earlier on when the crowds crowded Jesus and someone said, your mother and, you know, your siblings, your brothers are outside. And the Lord turned around and said, well, who is my mother and who is my brother? Except he who does the will of God. And that's what John had to do. He had been taught, and now he had to walk the walk, if you will. And not only did he take care of his mother, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he lived a very good life, long life. He honored what God had told him to do, and God honored him with long life. I mean, and who else would take care of his mother? I guess some of his brothers could have done that, but he transferred the responsibility to John, the one he loved, the Bible calls the one that Jesus loved. So what does that mean to me, like on a practical everyday? Why would God include that in his word? I have a father-in-law who's 86 years old and he's a widow. It's not always easy taking care of a widow. It's not easy taking care of the elderly. It really isn't. But as a family of God, not just because he's my flesh, you know, and blood, he's my husband's dad, but we are to take care of the widows within our own congregation. John wasn't flesh and blood, if you will, of Mary, but God said, take care of her, and he did. We have widows within our own congregation here. We have to reach out and take care of the widows. You know, it's a lonely place to be when your spouse is gone. And I wonder how Mary felt with everything that went in her life. But now John came alongside her, you know, to take care of her, following the instructions of the Lord. And those instructions are for us today too, to take care of the widows, those that are lonely. Mm-hmm. The book of James, it says that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is the one that takes care of the widow. Mm. So I believe John did that and God honored him. I believe that's what we need to do too, honor those around us who have been left alone.
Matthew 27:46. My God, why have you forsaken me? These are the words that Jesus cried out in a loud voice at about the ninth hour, very close to the end of his death. This sounds like the cry of despair. This sounds like a cry of hopelessness. Where are you, God? Why have you left me all alone? How many times have we cried that cry? Someone did ask me once, how could God have done this to Jesus? To Jesus, Rabbi, He opened the people's eyes to God's true character. He told them about the kingdom of God. He gave them hope. Jesus. He showed mercy and compassion to the people. He fed them spiritually and even physically. He healed their sickness. He delivered them from demons. He raised the dead. The people had just been rejoicing at his entrance into Jerusalem. He never sinned. He was innocent. Even Pilate said it. As I meditated on this, the Lord put two things strongly on my heart. Jesus was fully God and fully human. And two, he brought my mind to Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, but without sin. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus had spoken about his crucifixion and death. He knew this was going to happen. He had planned this with the Father from before the beginning of time. He knew he would be betrayed by the people, that even his closest friends would abandon him. He knew that he would face mocking, beating, torture, but still, it was his human back that felt and endured the flogging. It was his human head that felt the thorns push in. It was his physically exhausted and wounded body that had to carry the cross and endure the insults of the bystanders. It was his human hands and feet that felt the nails hammered in. It was his human heart that struggled to beat, and his human lungs that struggled to breathe under the strain of hanging on the cross. It was a human Jesus that faced the mocking of the religious leaders and Roman soldiers as he struggled, seeing their satisfaction at his suffering. It was his human eyes that looked into the eyes of those who loved him, those who were there, those he loved. He saw their pain. He saw their hopelessness. How much can a human bear? But this was not all that he had to suffer. He was a son who was always loved, who felt the love and approval of his Father even before this earth was created. Jesus. Who said that he and the Father are one. Mm. Who said that he did nothing except what the Father told him. Jesus was always in perfect unity with the Father, even as a human, until this time. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin be sin for us. Sin separates us from God. This is the curse. God is holy and cannot look upon sin. Jesus. He made Jesus sin for us and therefore had to separate himself from Jesus. What pain to be cut off from the one that you love, from the one who loves you, and in the middle of such physical and emotional torture. It was a human cry of sorrow. My God, why have you forsaken me? He knew why. He wanted this for love of us. But the physical, emotional, and spiritual pain was so much that this loud cry came forth. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way. I bet the religious leaders thought that Jesus had given up hope and spitefully rejoiced. I bet those who loved him thought this was a cry of hopelessness and fell into further despair. Jesus was fully human, but Jesus was also fully God. Jesus knew the scriptures backwards and forwards. He is the Word. His loved ones didn't know it at the time, but through the later revelation of the Holy Spirit, we understand that Jesus was quoting the first line of Psalm 22. But why these words? Out of all the scriptures he could have chosen, why these words? Jesus himself said of man, "For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." Let's look and see what was in Jesus' heart that he would refer to this psalm. Mm. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They cried out to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions, tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Oops. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told of the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. It's special to me that Jesus quoted a psalm. I love the Psalms. I learned how to pray as I read and meditated on the Psalms. David suffered much in his life, but we see in the Psalms that he never lost his faith in God. He was able to pour out his pain, grief, suffering before the Lord. But as he did this, he also was praising God and verbalizing his trust and hope in him. God was pleased with David and testified of him that he was a man after my own heart. I think it was very purposeful that Jesus chose to quote Psalms. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." We know that Jesus suffered physically, emotionally, and worst of all, spiritually, having to experience the pain of separation from the one with whom he had always been in loving relationship. Where are you, God? Why have you left me all alone? How could God have done this to Jesus? For love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus was fully human, but Jesus is fully God. He was not a victim. He was a very willing partner. We see from his last words that his heart was trusting in his Father, calling out his pain to his loving Father. And we see his mind was on us, looking ahead to what was to come. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
Yeah.
All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his generation to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung from a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
My God, why have you forsaken me? The cry of a human experiencing immeasurable suffering, pain, loneliness. The cry of our God pointing us to his word,
Jesus.
Pointing us to the joy that will come, showing us that we can approach God in our pain and in our sorrow. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. And now the next verse. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Our wonderful Messiah, the spotless Lamb that sits upon the throne, he has experienced every pain we have and allowed himself to experience separation from the Father. He did this so we would never have to suffer what we deserve, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. I worship you, O Jesus. I thank you, my God.
Hallelujah.
In your suffering, your mind was on me. Your mind was on all of us, us yet unborn, the future generation. Those who were before you in hopelessness, Lord Jesus, but you, though you couldn't speak because your tongue was stuck to the roof of your mouth, your heart was calling out, there will be victory, there is victory. Because there is victory in you, in you, Christ Jesus. I praise you, O Lord. All grace and power and glory and honor to the Lamb that sits upon the throne. Our wonderful Messiah, our sacrifice. I praise you, O God, and I thank you. May you fill our hearts, Lord, with the love that you have.
Hallelujah.
May we see others the way you saw us, even in our pain, O God. May we draw close to you, realizing your unbelievable love for us.
Hallelujah.
My God, why have you forsaken me? I praise you, Lord, that we never, ever have to say those words, because you promised you would never forsake us and leave us.
Yes.
Because you did what you did so that we would never have to go through that alone without you.
Jesus.
Amazing love. I praise you, O Lord. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Praise you, God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you.
Praise
you.
God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Worship
Hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Bless your name, Jesus.
The next word is taken from John chapter 19.
Turn it on. Is it on?
The next word is taken from John chapter 19, verse 28.
Hallelujah.
And after Jesus knowing all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture said, I am thirsty.
Mm.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Jesus' body was broken for us.
Mm.
And his blood was shed for us on Calvary so that we might have salvation through him.
Mm.
Praise God. Jesus was on the cross for about 6 hours and uttered, I thirst. As he was going through this physical torture inflicted upon his body.
Mm.
Jesus' thirst was physical in that his body was broken for us. His body was broken for us.
Yes.
And spiritual in that he was separated from the Father as our sins were on him. And he thirsted. He thirsted for the reuniting of himself with the Father so that our sins would be taken away.
Jesus.
And we would be saved.
Yes.
Thank God for Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank him for thirsting for us.
Yeah.
Thank him for paying the price for us.
Yeah.
So that our sins are wiped away.
Mm-hmm.
And we are saved.
Yes.
And we thirst for so many things in life. You know, we labor and we thirst.
Jesus.
We thirst for the physical.
Yes.
But Jesus Christ here was thirsting.
Jesus.
In the spiritual, thirsting for us. Thirsting so that we might have life.
Yes.
And have life more abundantly through him.
Jesus.
Praise God. Jesus was crying out that the eternal quenching would come sooner than later.
Yes.
And no amount of drugging with vinegar on a sponge, as we read in the next verse, a jar full of sour wine was standing there.
Mm.
So they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a bunch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth.
Mm.
So no amount of vinegar on a sponge would satisfy the thirst that he was enduring.
Jesus.
He endured that thirst for us.
Mm.
He endured everything for us.
Yes.
He paid the price for us.
Jesus.
He endured all for us.
Yes.
The Bible tells us that Jesus became sin.
Sin.
For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise God. He became sin for us. He took on our sins. And he was the spotless. He was the spotless Lamb of God.
Huh.
He knew no sin.
Yes.
That we might be made. That we might be in right standing with God.
Yes.
We might be made the righteousness of God.
Hallelujah.
In Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God for his saving grace.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sin could only be conquered by his shed blood on the cross.
Mm.
And this was the once and for all sacrifice that would be carried out by Jesus.
That's right.
Once and for all.
Once and for all.
Praise God.
Praise you.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.
Mm.
He thirsts for us.
He thirsts.
Jesus was broken for us.
Yes.
He paid it all on Calvary for us.
Yes.
Praise God. Jesus was in agony over going to the cross, as the scripture tells us.
That's right.
And it says that, and being in agony, in Luke 22:24, he prayed more earnestly.
Mm.
He prayed even more earnestly. Yes. And his sweat was as it were drops of blood falling down to the ground.
Wow.
That was heavy.
Yes, it was.
Very heavy.
Very heavy.
He paid that heavy price for us.
Mm.
He gave his life for us.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Jesus was looking into the cup that he was about to drink, as it were.
Mm.
The cup that would never quench thirst was the cup of the wrath of God as he bore our sins on the cross. Mm. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. We thank God. We thank Jesus. We thank him. We thank him that he bore the cup. That he bore the cross for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that he paid it all for us. So that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Let us give thanks that Jesus thirsts for us and was able to endure the worst for us. so that we will be spared the certainty of death.
Mm.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Now we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come boldly because of what Jesus Christ has done for us.
Yes.
How he has delivered us, how he has set us free. And we are able to find help in time of need.
Mm.
Praise God. As I was going through this passage, meditating on thirst, you know, we thirst for so many things in life.
Yeah.
You know, we thirst, we labor and we thirst, you know, in the physical. You know, but I believe that God wants us to experience the thirst that Jesus Christ experienced for us.
That's right.
He wants us to experience that thirst.
Yeah.
So that we can do as he would have us to do.
Mm.
We can go out and we can compel others to come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives.
That's right.
We can compel others to come into the fold. We can compel others that they need a Savior and they need Jesus.
Jesus.
And it's for us to do that. To do as he would have us to do. And it's also for us to be mindful of the things that he has done for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be mindful of where he has put us, where he has placed us. You know, he has placed each and every one of us here in Orange County Fellowship.
Yes.
And he has given us a task. He has given each and every one of us a task to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for us to accomplish that task. Know, as we thirst for him. It's for us to do as he would have us to do. Whatever it is that he would have us to do, whether it is as a teacher, whether it's as a preacher, whether it is as an usher, or as a greeter, or as a parking attendant, whatever it is that God would have for us to do,
mm-hmm.
it's for us to do it. To do it as we thirst. As we thirst for him,
Jesus.
As he thirsts for us, it's for us to do as God would have us to do. Because he thirsts for us. He gave it all for us. He sacrificed everything for us. So it's for us to sacrifice everything for him. And so we thank God for this word.
Mm.
We thank him that he thirsts for us.
Yes.
We thank him that he paid it all for us.
Yes.
And we thank him for his goodness and for his love and his mercy towards us.
Mm-hmm.
Let us pray at this time. Eternal God, most righteous and adorable Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this time. Thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity that we can share what you have done for us and how you have delivered us, how you have set us free, how you thirst for us. Oh, you gave your life for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for us to give our lives for others so that they too may experience what you have done for us. They may experience the joy that you have given to us.
Mm.
We thank you, Lord God, that you are with us and that you are in us and that you're working everything out in us and you're making us anew. You're forming us as we go through. You're doing marvelous things in our lives so that truly we can testify of your goodness. We can testify unto others of what you're doing for us.
Yes.
Lord, help us, O Lord God, to just keep looking to you and to keep trusting in you and thirsting after you, Lord God.
Yes.
Thirsting after you so that others, O Lord God, will be drawn closer unto you. Lord, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this time. Oh, God, the special time that you've given to us, oh, Lord God.
Yes.
Special time that we can come again, oh, Lord God, and just put everything before you, Lord God.
Yes.
Put all of our situations and everything that we have before you, and that you can just search us, oh, Lord God. And, oh, Lord God, if there's any wicked way in us, oh, Lord God, if there's anything that's in us, O Lord God, that needs to be removed, O Lord God. I pray that you'll just remove it from us, O Lord God. Oh God, cleanse us, O Lord God. Oh God, you thirst for us, O God. Cleanse us, O God, as we look into your
hands.
Cleanse us, O Lord God.
Jesus.
No, Father, from Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you and we praise you.
Thank you, God.
Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
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 The word I was given, the sixth word, John 19:30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." What an amazing couple words. I started to think, though, before I came to this, there was two ways to go with this. I wanted to share both. When I thought about what was finished in other biblical times, I thought about Noah, and in Genesis 6:16, God says to him, "Make a roof for it and finish the ark."
Mm.
And what a significant, you know, moment that is for Noah, you know. What if it wasn't finished, you know? What if he wasn't ready?
That's right.
What if the boat wasn't ready?
That's
would
right.
have sunk, right? So just in the word finishing something.
That's right.
Amen. That was there was significant.
Yeah.
Such significance in those words.
Mm.
John says in 4:34, Jesus says in John 4:34, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work."
Mm.
I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me.
Jesus. Uh-huh. Mm.
John 6:48, "I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that came down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die."
Jesus.
"I am the living bread that came down from heaven.
Jesus.
If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever.
Yes.
This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world."
Jesus.
"My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Wow. So, I felt the best way to express my verse was through the words. So in Romans, again, 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood."
Yes.
Romans 4:25, "He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." John 12:23, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." Jesus had to die so that he will not die, but instead live eternally, Jesus had to die so that we will not die, but live eternally with him in heaven. So Jesus said, "It is finished." So, "It is finished" is proclaiming victory.
Mm-hmm.
That is the ultimate meaning there, that he who love him will be with him, and our sins will be forgiven.
Yeah.
I thought about the Lamb that we talk about right there. You know, that's the ultimate right there. It's finished. It's sacrificed. He died on the cross. The veil was torn. Between the holiest of holies, the veil, there is no longer a need, because now we have Christ. He is our bridge. He is our veil. All I can say is that I was thinking about what Marie said, that he died, it was finished, so that we could be home with him one day, that through the sacrifice he bridged the gap between sin and the Father, and that he proclaimed the victory and all that he had accomplished when he had said, "It is finished."
Yeah.
So I just wanted to close out my part in prayer and just to thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, for believing in us, Lord Father. Those children that you loved, us, that one day we will be with you in paradise through the death on the cross, the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb. We thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us of our sins through your blood. In Jesus Christ we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Sorry. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. We find that in Luke 23:46. The whole verse says, "And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last." As I sat before the Lord and I just asked for insight into this verse, into this, the last words of Jesus in his humanity, why he chose these very words. Jesus knew where he was going. He knew that his Father, that his spirit was to be united with his Father in heaven. He knew that he was to sit at the right hand of the Father, that he was to sit at the right hand of power, that the Lord was going to make all his enemies the footstool for his feet.
Yeah.
Jesus knew that he could trust his Father. He knew where he was going, but yet Jesus chose to speak these words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." So as I was looking through other commentaries and other sources, just to get some more insight into this, the general theme was that Jesus was fulfilling scripture, that he was fulfilling the covenant that he made with his Father. And even though, all of that is true, if we go to Psalm 31:5, we see that Jesus was fulfilling scripture, that he was ratifying that covenant that he made with his Father. But that's not the whole story, I believe. I believe that as Jesus said these words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," Jesus never did anything without glorifying the Father. When Jesus healed the sick, when he made the lame walk, the blind to see, Jesus was glorifying his Father. And yet again, here he is showing us how he glorified his Father. And as he spoke these words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," I believe these words were instruction for us. Because as Jesus was dying, as I was on that cross, and I brought this before the Lord, he showed me to look at the entire cross and in the entire seven words that we were given. And if we look at the entire seven words, the first words that Jesus speaks, "Our Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So even as Jesus was dying, as he was ratifying that contract with his Father, as he was providing for us, Jesus was also leaving with us with instruction as to what the Christian experience was to be. He offered us salvation at the cross. He offered us forgiveness at the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And as he hung on the cross, he continued, and as he turn to that thief, to that robber, the person who is just like me and you. And as that robber, or as that thief, as that unregenerate heart looked at Jesus and he believed in his heart and confessed with his mouth that Jesus Christ was Lord and is Lord, and he asked to be remembered when Jesus entered into his kingdom. Jesus gave us assurance of salvation. He said, "Assuredly, you will be with me this day in paradise." So Jesus first offers us salvation at the cross. Then he shows us there is assurance of salvation at the cross. He goes on, and he tells us, as he is hanging on the cross, as we go through each one of the seven words that Jesus spoke, the next word was, I don't have it with me, but okay. The next word, he says, oh yeah.
You're with me in paradise.
No, after that, he said to mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Yeah. Jesus showed us a new life. We're no longer part of a genealogy that is of the flesh. He has brought us into a new life in his blood. Jeez. He has shown us mother, daughter, brother, sister. You are now part of my family, part of my bloodlines.
Hallelujah.
And we are the bloodlines of Jesus Christ from that day forward. So Jesus shows how we are entering into a new covenant, a new bloodline, a new life in him.
Yes.
Then he goes on to say, Father, why have you gone? My God, why have you forsaken me? He shows us what our Christian experience will be like. He gives us a forecast. Because yes, even though we are saved and even though we know we have a Father in heaven, we yet despair. We do despair. And we do cry out, Father, my God, why have you abandoned me? But what Jesus says right after, I thirst. In those times of despair, God caused us to thirst after him. He caused us to seek him all the more. He caused us to go deeper in our relationship with him. And as we go into that deeper place, it's not despair that comes out. Jesus says, it is finished. He shows there is victory in the cross.
Yeah.
He shows us that he has victory over sin. He has victory over death. He has victory over every single issue that we would ever face. And Jesus shows us as we go along that in each one of these stages that he has given us forgiveness. He has assured us of salvation.
Yeah.
He has established a new bloodline for us.
Yeah.
And he now shows us what it is that we will experience as we walk and as we commune with him.
Hallelujah.
But I believe that as he hung on that cross, and it says here, and when Jesus cried out, he cried out. Jesus was hanging on the cross. He was struggling for very breath. Yeah. And he cried out, Father! He wanted to get people's attention. He wanted people to hear this. Because this is what holds it all together. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. If we do not commit our spirits into the very hands of God, we will never commune with God. And it's only in that sweet communion, our spirit with the spirit of God, that we receive the empowerment to actually walk the Christian walk. The Christian walk is an impossible walk without the very power of God flowing through it.
That's right.
As we cry out on a daily basis, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Father, into your hands I commit the OCF. Father, into your hands I commit my mother, my father, my brother, my sisters. Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. Use me, Father. But it's only through that communion with God. It's only through that time that we have in his presence. And as we spend time in his presence, we become filled with his Holy Spirit. We become filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And it is by that Spirit that we are empowered to live the Christian walk.
Hallelujah.
And it is only by that power. So I encourage you, I encourage all of us today, that each and every day we cry out, Lord, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Every minute, even in those times, especially in those times, when everything seems to be going wrong, when everything is coming against us, in those times, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. If we can just lay hold of that, those precious words, and continue to just come before God with a heart that would cry out, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. We will have a victorious walk in our Lord Jesus Christ. The walk that he meant us to have.
Hallelujah.
The walk that he left us with. He left us with the Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
So that we would be empowered to do even greater things than Jesus did.
That's right.
So I just encourage each and every one here that we as a church body, we as a Christian, we as a child of God, that we would lift up our spirits before our very God and cry out, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, I thank you, Lord. I just praise you tonight, oh Father God, and I just I want to just thank you, Father God. I thank you for each and every word that came through here tonight, Father God. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit anointing each and every heart, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, and just offer ourselves up before you, Lord. Your Holy Spirit just comes upon us and, Lord, gives us words to speak that we are not even able to speak. Gives us clarity of thought that we do not even have, oh Father God. And I just ask, oh Father God, that your will, your plan, your purpose would be lived out in each one of our lives, oh Father. Yeah. Lord, I thank you, oh Father God, that we would just continue to pursue after you, Lord, to pant after you, just like as the deer pants after the water, oh Father God. Lord God, that we would receive the full baptism of your Holy Spirit, oh Father God. So wherever we are, Lord, that we would be in season, Lord God. That, Lord God, we would just open our mouth, Lord, and that the Holy Spirit would pour forth, oh Father God. So from our bellies would come the flowing of living water, oh Father God. So, Lord, the overflow of our hearts would be the words that would come from your Holy Spirit, oh Father God. Oh Lord God, we just cry out unto you, oh Father God, into your hands, oh Father God. We commit our spirit tonight, Lord. We commit everything that we have, oh Father God. Oh, we just thank you, Father. We just bless your name tonight, oh Father God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.